I'm gonna click start now.
Good afternoon and welcome to Radio Top Tropicals, where here we answer all of your gardening questions. Today we're going to discuss aphrodisiac plants of the world. An aphrodisiac is a substance that increases libido when consumed. Libido is another word for sex drive. The word aphrodisiac comes from the Greek goddess of love, Aphrodite. We already know that certain foods can be aphrodisiacs, but did you know there are many kinds of plants known to be aphrodisiacs as well? Many of these plants can be grown in your own backyard and can also be purchased at toptropicals.com. The first aphrodisiac plant we'll discuss is chocolate, or Theobroma cacao, better known as the chocolate tree. Its uses date back to the Mayan era, and Aztec prostitutes used to be paid in cocoa pods. You see, this just goes to show you, the Aztecs weren't as primitive as we think. Nowadays, in the 21st century, you run out, you buy a $100 box of gourmet chocolate, and what do you get? Nothing. At any rate, roasted beans were ground and mixed with water, vanilla, cayenne pepper, and sweetened with honey. This is then drunk to increase an individual's libido. The chocolate tree can be kept at around 15 feet in height and can be grown in sun to part shade. There are two varieties, red and yellow. This is a cold-sensitive tree and can only stand temperatures down to 50 degrees for a few hours. So if you're in the colder climates, you do need to bring it in the wintertime. Now, another popular plant that has aphrodisiac properties is Coffea arabica, or the common coffee tree. This plant is better known for its beans that, when roasted and mixed with cardamom, water, and honey, makes a delicious beverage that increases libido. This beverage was sacred to African Sufis. The coffee plant prefers filtered light and can be pruned and kept at 5 feet, making it a great house plant. The coffee plant produces white flowers in the spring that smells of lemon soap. The coffee was actually discovered as a very good beverage back in Ethiopia in the 11th century. It reached North America in 1668. As luck would have it, a monk observing his goats eating the coffee berries were able to notice that his kids were up all night. Caldi, the monk, reported his findings to the abbot at the local monastery, who made a drink with the berries and was able to get through his evening prayers. Another widely used aphrodisiac is avocados. Avocados, in the Aztec language, actually means testicle. Almost all parts of this tree are used in homeopathic medicine. The fruits are said to send vigor and sexual interest to the person consuming it. Eating one avocado a week can help with circulatory functions, and it is great for the skin. There are over 500 varieties of avocado being grown today. The avocado tree can reach up to 30 feet. These trees love full sun and well-draining soil, so with many different types of avocados, it is actually possible to have avocados all year round. Imagine being able to have this fruit all the time in the year without having to pay those high grocery store prices. The fruit is said to be the fruit said to be a symbol of the goddess of love herself, is known to us as Punica granatum. Well, who's us? I never call it a Punica granatum. I call it a pomegranate. There are hundreds of varieties of pomegranates worldwide. However, only 14 of them are available in the United States. It is said that drinking pomegranate juice will increase your sex drive and enable women to become pregnant. According to a study done at Michigan Medical School, pomegranate oil can actually regenerate skin and strengthen skin against damage. To talk about the fountain of youth. Discovered by the Portuguese in 1518, another aphrodisiac, Cinnamomum xylanicum, also known as cinnamon, can be used in many stimulating oils. Cinnamon is also said to help with impotence and sexual fatigue in men. Some other great benefits of cinnamon are its anti-cancer, antiviral, and antibiotic properties. Remember, however, that the studies done on these plants are 95% dependent on who's funding the study. The cinnamon tree can be kept as a small bush or a medium-sized tree at 10 to 20 feet. These plants are flood-tolerant and love full sun. One of the rarest trees in cultivation, Butea monosperma, is used to manage many male sexual disorders. The bark of this tree is said to cure erectile dysfunction, increase sperm production, and decrease defective sperm. I guess those are the ones that swim backward. Butea monosperma, or flame of the forest, has clusters of flame orange flowers that appear from February to April. You can keep this tree as a bonsai, that means like a small tree, or if planted in the ground, can become 20 to 40 feet tall. Now, these are only a few of the plants that are aphrodisiacs. With all the plants available, imagine the possibilities for your home garden. Many people can say that they have butterfly gardens, but with a little research, you can have your own aphrodisiac garden. So invite your friends over for a fascinating garden party. Well, let's see. Do we have any questions?
We do have some questions. First question we have is, what kind of soil do we use when planting at Top Tropicals? Here at Top Tropicals, we use a soilless potting mix. It's basically consisted of coconut coir, pine bark, perlite, and some other things. We also have a question that is wanting to know, they've been having an occasion of sticky substance on leaves to which they apply an insecticide. They see no evidence of aphids, mealybugs on the top or the backsides, but after applying the insecticide, the stickiness returns. Any ideas, Robert?
Let's see, what kind of plant is it that they're finding the sticky substance on?
I don't have that answer.
Well, many a times you can have mechanical damage which will allow sap to run. And barring any evidence of seeing any insect pests, I'd kind of hold off on the insecticide for a while and see what happens basically.
Okay, it looks like the plant is a cinnamon plant, Robert.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's cinnamon, you may want to get yourself a little powerful magnifying glass. Recheck again for any signs of pests. And then I would still hold off on the insecticide. Let's see what happens. It's best to, everybody wants to always immediately apply some pesticide whenever they see a problem with a plant. Sometimes it can actually be best to hold off.
Okay, and on the radio show, we don't have access to when your cinnamon tree will ship. However, if you go to info@toptropicals.com and send us an email, we can look that up for you. Robert, Another plant that's a part of the aphrodisiacs is vanilla. What can you tell us about the vanilla orchid?
The genus Vanilla is absolutely fascinating. Even though there's like 150 different species of vanilla, there's only two or three species which we obtained the commercial vanilla from. Vanilla flavoring is obtained from the vanilla bean, which is the cured, dried seed pod of the vanilla orchid. The three species used are Vanilla planifolia, Vanilla pompona, and from Tahiti, Vanilla tahitiensis. The plant, once pollinated, and bear in mind, the flowers of the vanilla only stay in bloom for but a few hours in the early morning and must be pollinated immediately in order to obtain a vanilla bean. After pollination, it takes a period of anywhere between 6 to 12 months to form a good seed pod. Once the seed pod is ripe, it is then sometimes boiled and often dehydrated to obtain the vanilla bean. In addition, it must be remembered, vanilla, the vanilla plant itself, is poisonous, and care should be used when handling or repotting this plant. People who have pollinated thousands of vanilla orchids in the mornings have sometimes come up with an affliction on their skin known as vanillitis, which is from the poison and also tiny little silica-like spears that enter the skin area. However, the good news is it apparently is a remedy for impotence. And about 75% of all vanilla beans worldwide come from the Madagascar area. Basic harvests are approximately 10,000 beans per acre, which translates to about 100 pounds or so when dried. Any other questions?
Okay, Robert, do you know about how long it takes for the avocado trees to start bearing fruit?
Okay. Well, when you purchase an avocado tree, you want to make sure that the tree is grafted. In other words, they take rootstock of an avocado tree, then they take the mature budwood of a older plant and graft it on and unite the two. This will ensure that you will be receiving fruit within 1 to 2 years. Otherwise, if you try and grow an avocado tree from seed, you may have to wait 15 to 20 years for the tree to bear fruit. So here at Top Tropicals, we sell only grafted avocados, and we have literally dozens of varieties with which to choose. One thing to remember, though, here in Florida, we are being plagued right now by an insect that bores into avocado trees and spreads a fungus known as laurel wilt. And this can be deadly to some varieties of avocado. So when you call in, be sure to let us know, or when you get on our website, be sure to let us know exactly where you live, and we will make sure that we get you the better, more resistant varieties. On a recent trip from Miami to back here in Southwest Florida, I literally saw hundreds of bay laurel trees that were absolutely dead from this laurel wilt. The avocado is Persea americana. The bay leaf is Persea bourbonica. I believe it's Bourbonia or Bourbonica. And this is just one of those blights and scourges that occur in the botanical world occasionally.
Okay, going back to the vanilla, Robert, a customer wants to know how you plant your vanilla. Do you plant them in dirt or moss?
Okay, what I generally use, we used to call it Reefer's Magic Mix. It's a mixture of approximately 50% perlite and 50% peat moss. Also, in the bottom of the pot, make sure there's good drainage. You can use either rock, broken clay crockery, or even non-biodegradable packing peanuts. Good drainage is absolutely essential for the vanilla. Now, many people want their vanilla orchid to grow everywhere. Basically, however, if you provide a large enough pot, you can come up with a more robust specimen. Just literally keep winding the vine over itself again and again, almost like a ball of yarn. This will enable the root system of the vanilla vine to get into the potting mix and absorb more nutrients, groceries, whatever have you, and will provide for a much more robust vanilla. One vanilla vine I grew, Vanilla Barbalata, ended up having over 700 flowers in a growing season. And this was just in a 25-gallon pot.
Okay, we have a question. We live in South Carolina and want to know what type of avocado would work best for them.
That's your department, ma'am.
Okay, well, it depends on which part of South Carolina. Some parts of South Carolina get very, very cold, and they really can't handle the frost or the snow. There are some cold hardy avocados. You can find them all and their cold hardiness on toptropicals.com. However, when you're talking about the cold and hardiness of any tree, they're talking about a fully matured tree. So in any case, it would still need protection until it was a full matured tree. There are some very nice container avocados that you can bring in for the winter. The Wurtz avocado is one of them. You could definitely grow that in South Carolina and just bring it in when it gets too cold.
Oh, the Haas variety is really nice. You know those little Mexican hand grenades?
Yeah.
They seem to have all the flavor of even those large avocados, but seems to have like all that flavor condensed into one fantastic little fruit.
The Florida Haas is a good one. One of my favorites right now is the Nishikawa, as well as the Agamatea. They are both have some of the highest oil content in an avocado, which is what you're talking about, all that flavor. So those two are really nice too. We also have a question that's wants to know, what's the secret to establishing a young avocado tree there in Florida?
It's a secret. No, actually, in order to establish an avocado tree, and by the way, any fruit or flowering tree for that matter, including all the plants you get, you have to remember, here in Southwest Florida, we have three major types of soil. We have sand, sandy sand, and really sandy sand. And many of your nursery plants are grown in a full, much richer soil to begin with. So what'll happen is you'll plant this nice, well-grown avocado in this sand, and the tree says, hey, I don't like that. And it will continue to wrap its roots around the tree and not spread into the other areas where it needs to grow. So generally, dig the hole about twice the diameter of the pot. Then mitigate the sand with some really nice soil. You can even use cow manure. And nothing wrong with going into a field and picking up a buffalo chip. the better soil, and by mitigating it this way, will get the roots to grow outward from the tree, which is what you want. I generally try and discourage people. Some people want to score the root ball with a knife, but I find that this really does more harm than good and can create a lot of damage for pests and pathogens to enter with. Any other ideas?
Another thing with avocados, a lot of times people experience what they call salt burn. They like to be watered once in the ground slowly, not all at once. What happens is our soil is so salty, when you water it very quickly through like a sprinkler system or something instead of deep root watering, the salt will dry up on the avocado's roots and then cause a salt burn. So those are just two really good things to remember when you're planting an avocado in Florida.
We also have one other question. A gentleman has purchased a Piper nigrum. That's also known as black pepper. And he wants to know how long it's going to be before he should see some fruit. Generally, here at Top Tropicals, our Piper nigrums are generally in anywhere between 1 and 3 gallon pots. They come with a very nice trellis, and many of them are already in fruit. One of the other interesting things about a lot of fruit trees, and we get a lot of questions on this, my fruit tree won't bloom, my fruit tree won't fruit. Well, assuming it is grafted, assuming that the tree is of mature size, one needs to remember that flowering and fruiting are a sexual response of the tree. And stress tends to cause sex. And of course, sex causes stress. It's a vicious cycle. But you do need to remember that sometimes the more you stress out that tree, the better. Now, you can do this one of two ways. You can play with the water level. In other words, even in some orange groves, they'll raise the water level, then drop it suddenly. And this causes the bloom to form. Another thing you can do is to wrap the trunk of your fruit tree in a towel and quite literally beat on it with a 2x4. We've even taken tractor chains to a few trees and jarred them. And then we get the most amazing results. These trees will flower and they will certainly fruit.
Okay, we have a question about A and B avocados and how many trees do you need for fruit? It's important to know when you're talking about what they call an A and B type avocado, it's talking about the male and female flowers. Every avocado has male and female flowers. When you're talking about an A versus a B, A avocados, the flower opens in the morning, or the female flower opens in the morning and becomes a male at night, or vice versa. Unless you have a huge grove and you're planning on selling avocados, you really don't need an A or a B type of avocado because they are both male and female.
So in other words, they're one sex by day and a different sex by night. Sounds like San Francisco. But let's see, the major idea behind all of these aphrodisiac plants is so that you and your partner can enjoy each other much better. Now, you know, there are other aphrodisiacs available. One of them is called kindness. Be kind to your partner. You won't believe what a nice, soft word can do for a relationship. Thoughtfulness, care. Let your partner know that you are considering them and thinking about them. Get them a gift sometime with no special occasion in mind. And when you have two people coming together who are thinking about each other, who want to promote each other's careers, developments, and make sure that one another's lives are more fulfilled, then don't worry, the sex will take care of itself.
Okay, let's see. So, Robert, do you know anything about the betel nut tree?
The betel nut tree, I have no experience with. However, what we've been able to find out is that it's a strong stimulant. When the betel nut seeds are eaten, they contain alkaloids that have a stimulating effect on the entire body and eros. Toxic to intestinal parasites. Well, that's good. Hey, my tapeworm's days are numbered. It's a traditional aphrodisiac in excuse me, but I can't pronounce this word. Ayurvedic medicine, and is counted among the eight types of pleasure in the Brahmanic tradition. I wonder what the other seven are. It has magical and religious properties, and used as an offering to the gods.
Okay, we have a question. Do Haas avocados need a male and a female? Haas avocado is a male and a female. You only need one avocado to produce fruit. They all have male and female flowers on them.
So basically, when you have a plant that has both male and female flowers, they're called hermaphroditic. And also, we have here at Top Tropicals a new steroid out on the market known as Sunshine. And this Sunshine is best at producing female flowers as well as increasing the health and vigor of your tropical plants. It's a brassinosteroid, which is a fancy name for a substance which works in the plant to promote plant growth. And we're fairly excited about it. We've received good results. Preliminary experiments that I've done personally on tomato plants had shown that the brassinosteroid application, or the plants we applied sunshine to, had literally 6 times the weight in biomass as did our control group, which was given none of the sunshine. So when you come to Top Tropicals, or write, or email us, give us a phone call, ask about sunshine, because I would recommend this highly for being able to get really robust growth. And for those people in North America who don't drink a cool beer at 80 degrees at 8 o'clock in the evening like we do here in Southwest Florida, don't forget, growing season, you gotta pounce on it. Oh, also, we have another question. How often should I use the sunshine booster on my fruit trees? I would recommend 1 to 2 applications spaced approximately 1 week apart. Wait about a month or two if it wants some more of the sunshine, then give it a little bit more. At any rate, it's really been an enjoyable experience with y'all, and we sure do appreciate you listening to us. And remember, keep those cards and letters and questions coming. Oh, one more question. is it okay if the sunshine gets on my butterfly plants? It is perfectly all right. It is a natural ingredient, and your butterflies will not complain. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, thank you.